Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Learning to live, I'm learning.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Lord Jesus, once again, we've entered into this building, or we've come online, or we've decided to listen to a recorded show so that we can learn about you, Lord. And we just ask that you show us the message that you have for us today, Lord, that you give us wisdom and understanding so that we may walk as you would have us walk. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love one another, 1 John 4:7-8.
unto thee, O Lord. You have lift up my soul, O my God. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul.
Give the Lord a cheer. It is so much joy and so much fun to think about this year's upcoming conference. And for all those people who show up the day before, they truly miss the excitement and the joy that we go through getting things prepared. Do we have any conflict during those times? No, never. I think that's what some of them believe. Let's turn over to Proverbs 3, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Cheryl pointed this verse out to me the other day, one in here, and it stuck with me all week, or ever since she told me. I don't even remember what day it was now, but this should be a reminder to all of us, especially in our daily fight to do what the Lord would have us do. Verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That should apply to us every day in our daily lives. And just to give an example of lean not unto thine own understanding, I'm going to pick on a few people today. Oh, yeah, you're number one, Davey. Davey gets a hold of Ricky, says, build me a website. Hangs up on Ricky. Next day, Davey gets a message, says, hey, website's done. This is the address, www.richardutzler.com. You punch that in, and boom, up pops this website, full screen. Picture of Davey smiling at you. No submenus, nothing else. It's nothing but a picture. Did he do what he was told? Technically, yes. Don't we walk around and do that sometimes? I sit there and tell Corey, go build a doghouse. Without instruction. What kind of a doghouse will I get? Well, it could be one for a plastic dog for a kid that's, 5 inches high. Or it could be a 3-story building with all kinds of ladders and slides and all kinds of things. Let's say Robin comes to me and goes, Bob, I need a receipt. I reach in my pocket. Subway receipt. I hand it to her. Did I just do what she said? For you to have understanding on what somebody needs and what the Lord wants you to do, you have to investigate. You have to ask questions. You have to find out what the other party is expecting. First of all, it involves listening. Second of all, you have to open your mouth. You have to communicate. Now, it'd be awful funny if Robin said, Bob, I need a receipt for such and such date from Home Depot, and I hand her a Subway receipt. I'd probably get slapped in the back of the head. If I told Corey I needed a doghouse for trouble, that's what we'd expect. One that trouble could get into, not one for his toe to fit in. If Davey asked Ricky to build him a store website with a shopping cart with all these items in place, when Ricky says it is done, when you go to that page, that's exactly what you should see. And Ricky would communicate that, hopefully. He would sit there and go, Davey, what do you want on it? Or Dad, what do you want on it? You know, we do this with the Lord, too. We lean on to our own understanding. We do it every day. And this world has a way of skewing our understanding. Lord says, ask. And that shall be opened. Or knock, it shall be opened. Ask and you'll receive. Let's see, if we rely on our own understanding, we'd all be in 2-story mansions. Our bank accounts would be in the millions. We would have every latest thing that there is on the streets. But if we go by God's understanding, He's going to give us what we need. He's going to give us the things and the tools that are going to allow us to stay centered, to stay focused on what's important. And the only thing that is important is Jesus Christ. I used to pray to be a millionaire, you know, hit the lottery. And to me, I could do all these things with all this money. The Lord knows where my heart would go if I had that money. Would I be following Him? Would I be doing His work? In all likelihood, no. Think about it. If you won the lottery and He allowed you to win it, would you continue doing His work? Or would you automatically get sucked right into the world and start doing all the things and playing all the games and wandering around and doing all the stuff that all the other people do that have that kind of money? I thank God and Jesus Christ that He gives me what I need and a lot of times not what I would like to have. Because what I'd like to have would destroy me. And more than likely, if you think about it, there's going to be a lot of times where there's things that you want that would do the same thing to you. So let's stay centered and keep our focus on Jesus Christ and rely not on our own understanding, but rely on Him. Keep our faith in Him so that we can receive His grace, His mercy, and His peace. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think I'm going to go down a couple more verses over there in Proverbs 3. I think you left off where it's 7. Yeah, I think it was 7. That's where I had my finger. So as long as that didn't move. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There's one thing, well, probably more than one thing, but when you fear the Lord, there isn't room to fear anything else. There shouldn't be. That's the only fear you should have. And that's a rightly placed fear. 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Tithe. Devote your time. Help those in the fellowship. Serve the Lord. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I receive correction. I'm sure Bob receives correction on occasion.
Nah, never.
Never. We all receive correction. The question is how do you receive it? Do you hear it? Do you receive it? I mean, do you really get it? And say, gosh, I screwed up. And repent of that thing and move forward in a different direction. Or do you just kind of let it in one ear and out the other and walk away saying, he just doesn't know my situation. I'm different. He doesn't get me. But I'm just. That's not a right place to be. If you fear the Lord, when you receive this correction, you're going to realize that it's a correction unto life. It's a correction that's going to lead you and guide you closer to Him and to help you enter into that kingdom that you say you desire to be in. I want to go over, I was in Mark, chapter 8, verse 34. And I think these two things kind of tie themselves together. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now when you're leaning on your own understanding, you're not losing your life for Jesus. See, you're hanging on to that life. You're hanging on to your own pride, to that flesh, to all them feelings that you love and they make you feel all cozy. When that correction comes and you see these aspects in your life where you need to get shed of that, to die to yourself, do it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I mean, isn't that what it's all about? Bob was mentioning, you know, the $1 million, 3-story homes, you know, all the new gadgets. I mean, what is any of that worth? That's gone in an instant. Is the prize you're looking for that of eternal life with the God of all creation? Or do you want to get what you can get here on the earth and find yourself in hell afterward? That's the choice that's before you. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words In this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I call myself a Christian. I've taken his name. He is my Lord. I should do what he says. I should serve him. I should accept that correction that he's given me so that I can serve him better. So that I can be ready when that time comes to be with him. And in order to do that, I got to put down this old man. I got to put down this flesh. Brother Davey had mentioned over in Romans 7, I hope y'all did your homework last week. He said, read Romans 7. That sin that so easily besets us. You know, I try to do good and the sin's there. And yeah. I mean, that's the battle that each and every one of us has. We were watching a movie last night, A Knight's Tale, that's what it was called. I missed the first part, I missed a little bit in the beginning. But basically the story is that this peasant guy, you know, he ends up becoming squire for a knight, and then some things unfold, and he puts on the knight's armor, and he's kind of pretending to be the knight. And he has a couple of buddies with him, and they're all kind of in on the sham, you know. And he makes his way to a point, and he loves this girl. And him being a peasant and her being of royalty, he can't have her. And he's trying to prove his love to her in all these different ways. And he's trying to be the best knight out there. And the scene in the movie that sticks out to me is when he asks her, "What can I do to show you my love for you?" And they had a tournament, you know, a jousting tournament the next day. And she said, "If you love me, go out and lose." "Oh, but I can't. I want to win and show you that I love you." Because, see, he wanted to prove his love to her with his own life, with his own pride. The thing that would fill him, he thought would be pleasing to her. But that wasn't the case. And that's not the case with the Lord. See, there isn't anything that you can do that's going to please him other than believe the gospel. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Anything that's going to fill you with pride, make you feel like you've done it, that's going to lead you farther away from God. Just had a thought here. Steve was over in Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to read verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." See, he was mentioning and speaking on that living sacrifice, right? This dying to yourself to live in him. The thing that came to mind with that is, gosh, it's almost easier just to plumb die, isn't it? I mean, having to continually die to yourself, I mean, that sounds like work. But if I just die, just be done with it, that might be easier. But I'm not going to end up where I say that I want to go, if that's the case. So we need to continually fight against this flesh, against that enemy that's in us, against this cursed man, and put it down. Turn quick over to 1 Peter chapter 5. That battle between our flesh and serving the Lord, the devil has a big hand in. I'm going to start reading at 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, that devil ain't going away. He's waiting for you to let down your guard, to fall asleep, to get complacent, to stop. Because at that point, he is able to pounce and devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So resist that devil. Resist him. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You resist the devil, draw nigh unto God, the devil's going to flee. And you can find that peace, that joy, that place of rest where you can serve him in all that you do. We just have to get rid of ourselves. Seek him and don't miss that mark.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise the Lord. That didn't sound that bad. Yeah, there's a lot of talking today. A lot of preaching on Romans 12:1. And bear with me for a moment, if you will, and have patience. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you know what the good and perfect and acceptable will of God is. We've heard it over and over and over again. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know that in order to do that, you have to submit yourselves to the Lord. You have to obey the Lord. Now, that's where the catch comes. You see, because in the submitting your bodies as a living sacrifice, there's this one little thing that keeps getting in the way. It's called fear. You may not believe it or understand it at first, but it's fear that keeps you from submitting. It's fear that keeps you from obeying. It's fear that wants you to hang on and not let go. I've been through this fear. I've seen this fear. I've overcome this fear. Not in the way that you might think. I will give you a couple examples of how the Lord taught me to overcome this fear. He had me under H. Richard Hall for a period of time. And we're in a tent revival out in the middle of a field that was full of sand spurs. And I was in the back of the tent. And Brother Hall was preaching. And somewhere in the preaching, I heard, fall on your face before the Lord and worship him. And when I heard this, I looked around. And I saw the sand spurs. Lord, he's got to be kidding, right? You know what happens? You fall face first into a pile of sand spurs. It's going to hurt. And yet, to obey the Lord is to do it without question, to do it without fear, to do it without hesitation. Amen? So while I'm hesitating and fearing and questioning, two hands grabbed me by the ankles. Keep in mind, there was no one behind me. And went flip. My face hit first, my feet hit last. And I stayed there for a period of time. I don't know how long it was. I think Brother Hall got a kick out of it. He did notice it and made comment about it. But I know that when I got up, I mean, I was covered from head to foot with sand spurs. But the pain that I feared wasn't there. I had no pain. None whatsoever. So I brushed the sand spurs off and started praising the Lord. There was another time I was called to preach in a field full of fire ants. And as I was preaching, the fire ants started crawling up because I happened to pick their home site, I guess. And my first response was to run. And the Lord said, trust me, and preach on. So I did. And I had fire ants from top of my head down to my feet. And they were chewing on me. No pain. After the service, people marveled. I went home, took a shower, got rid of the rest of them. No welts. I went to church that night. People came to show up just to see if I was still alive. You can die from variants. And I walked into church, and they looked at me, and they were amazed because there was not a single variant whelp on me. And I learned through experiences like this. The Lord taught me that by trusting Him and not letting fear enter in, that you can present your body a living sacrifice. You know, Isaac was a living sacrifice. And when Abraham placed him on that altar, Isaac wasn't a little six-year-old child. He was in his teens or early 20s. We know he was under 30. But he was well able physically to tell Abraham, "You fool, I ain't getting up there. What's the matter with you? You could have slapped him in the dust." But he presented himself that living sacrifice and willingly submitted to his father and got upon that altar and laid himself down where his father could perform what God had said. And in that act of presenting himself a living sacrifice, not only was he justified by God, but Abraham was justified by God, and provision was made. When you are in the world and someone comes against you, fear will strike you. Fear that maybe you're not being treated right, or fear what people will think if you just shut your mouth and let it happen. What if he comes and hits me? Should I hit him back? I mean, you know, all kinds of fears come around. But when somebody jumps you, or jumps on you and you feel it's unworthy or it's not right, whether it is or not, chances are it probably is, but you're not going to see it as being right. But whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Use that opportunity to submit yourself a living sacrifice to God and take that anger from that person onto yourself and give it to the Father. See, there's more to being a living sacrifice than just knocking down your own desires of what you want in the world. It's taking the sin off of others. It's taking their anger. It's taking their fears. It's taking their hurts. It's taking whatever it is that keeps them from receiving what God has for them. Take it from them. Take it to yourself and present it to the Lord. Die to yourself for them. Most of the time when this message is preached about Romans 12, it's dying to yourself for yourself. Die to myself so I can live. It's all about me, right? But how about dying to yourself that others might live? That's the message I want you to hear. Somebody treats you wrong, die to yourself for that person. Be a living sacrifice for that person. said one day, no easy is simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. And when you do it, you're drawing nigh unto God because He did it first. Amen.
Oh, Lord.
know God is moving. His spirit is moving right now. He's moving in New Hampshire. In a little trailer. With a woman that's been in pain for years. Gail, it's time to turn it loose. It's time to turn it loose. Give yourself to God as a sacrifice. Let it all go. Let it all go. God's moving in South Carolina. Let it go, Paul. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. He's moving right here at Grace Ranch. Turn it loose and let that stuff go. Get rid of it. Lay it down. You don't need it. God is moving. He's moving in the Philippines. Pastor Lloyd. The Lord has a calling on you. Lay yourself down. Let him have his way. And he will show himself mightily through you and your wife. Your son shall be delivered and total health restored and be given a sound mind, thus saith the Lord. I speak it and I believe it. Let it be as it said. God is moving. Let us move with him.
Just thank you for your diligence and your patience, Lord. We thank you for forgiving us of all the wrongs we do each and every day. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for walking out these doors with us, for being with us with every step that we take, Lord. As long as we look to you, you are there for us. And we thank you and we love you, Lord Jesus. And we say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.